Lynn, how'd you get interested in Mothman?
Well, that's actually really interesting. I had heard about it, and I actually saw the movie first. And I kind of looked at it, and I just went, you know, what is this thing that was there? You know, what did everybody see? And I actually contacted a couple of people, was pointed to the Kiel book, which I read. And from there, I contacted, I think they were on your show a while back, and, you know, spoke to Travis Short in particular and Charlie McCracken.
Right.
And spoke to them and interviewed Travis, and he opened my eyes to another researcher called Jeff Walmsley. And from there, I really started piecing the story together and started contacting some of the witnesses myself. And I just found the story incredibly fascinating and looked at it from my paradigm. The missing ingredient from everyone's story except for Walmsley is this particular gentleman who was able to have some sort of victory. When I say victory, in other words, he controlled the situation. The Mothman didn't. And everybody else from Linda Scarberry down, everyone was terrified, paralyzed, couldn't do too much with this thing. Some of these people's lives were ruined, drugs, alcohol, broken marriages. I mean, it's abysmal. And of course, without speaking of this gentleman, just from sort of the fruit, if I can use that word, of these people's lives and what happened to them and the ruin that happened to some of the people that actually saw this creature, I assume that what we were looking at or dealing with was somehow some sort of a fallen angel or some sort of maybe a demonic hybrid that somehow was able to manifest in the area for a period of time. How it did that, can't tell you, don't know. I have some ideas, but don't know. But anyway, I got a hold of this gentleman who actually saw the thing face-to-face in his bedroom. It actually manifested in his room. And
it didn't come into his place, but manifested.
It manifested.
So. Okay.
It manifested. The way he tells the story, I did a pretty extensive interview with the man, and you know, put it in my newsletter and gave it out that way. But for the purposes of the discussion this evening, he told me that when he first got to his house, he'd heard about this thing, you know, because it was all papers. The whole town was talking about it, and right away when he heard about it, his training, his worldview, his paradigm was: we're looking at a demon, we're looking at some sort of a luciferic presence, and that's what he thought it was. He apparently comes home one night, kind of paraphrasing his statement,
sure,
his interview, but basically he comes home one night and he has a very uneasy feeling. He feels like there's something wrong in the house, and he goes into the house and he searches every room, doesn't see everything. He gets to the kitchen, and where the cellar door is, there's usually like a latch on the cellar door. And to his surprise, the latch isn't locked. So he takes a pipe in his hand and goes down into the cellar. When he's telling me this, I'm freaking out. You know, I'm going, oh, my God. It's like, yeah, you know, it's just like a sci-fi movie. It's just ridiculous.
Don't go down in the cellar.
Don't go down in the cellar. Everybody knows that. And he goes down, and he doesn't see anything. He comes back, latches the door, has dinner with his wife, goes to bed around 10 o'clock. And then at 2:30 in the morning, he awakens, and apparently very sound sleeper. This is very abnormal, and he looks out the window, and he sees a street light. A car goes by. He doesn't think too much of it, and he looks back to his bed, and there the thing is. I mean, just literally standing at the foot of his bed, when I interviewed this, and I tell your listeners this because it bothered me, and it was very sobering to me. But he stopped the interview three times, I think, at least twice, possibly the third time.
Why? Was he that uptight?
He was not uptight, but as he would talk about it, it would, you know, the whole thing would begin to resonate in his spirit again. And I'll be honest with you, we both stopped when he got that way and we prayed. And then he would continue, and then he said, you know, I'm having trouble again, and we would pray again, and then he would continue. This happened like two or three times.
You don't think he was putting you on?
No, not at all. This guy was a missionary in New Guinea, and some of the fascinating, he actually went to New Guinea after the Mothman and actually had encounters very similar to what Mothman, you know, similar, not exactly, but similar. There were demon-possessed people there. There were spirits that would walk around at night. And this was just commonplace in Papua New Guinea. I mean, this stuff was just manifesting all over the place, according to this. This guy was over there for, I think, 8 years as a missionary. And this goes back, you know, probably 1970. So it's fairly primitive. And he discusses it, you know, quite openly and you know, talks about some of these spirits would come and literally knock on the door to a hut and call out the person that they wanted, and the person would be powerless to do anything about it. And, you know, and some of these, and the villagers would come down the next day and see these people in cages. I mean, just really bizarre stuff, really weird stuff that this guy was privy to when he was over there. But this happened after the Mothman. At first I thought it happened before, and this was what trained him. But no, all this stuff in Papua New Guinea happened after the Mothman. But he told me that, you know, point blank, he said it was the most wicked thing, and he used the word wicked he had ever experienced. And I asked him, in fact, let me read that verbatim, because it's kind of interesting when he actually answered the question, because he chose the word wicked, and I find that, you know, just kind of fascinating that he would say that, if I can find it here. But he used the word wicked, and where is it?
And you know, when you say he used the word wicked, at any point did he ever say that these might have been extraterrestrials?
Definitely not.
Okay.
Definitely not.
And did he think they were physical? Well, again, this one manifested.
Well, this one manifested. He said, I asked him, what did the thing look like? This is verbatim. And LG says, a silver glow, but it wasn't bright and sunny, but it was lit up. It had the wickedest spirit I have ever felt. I couldn't say anything. My voice was choked. I couldn't make my voice work. I was paralyzed with fear. It overwhelmed me. I knew the only thing I could do was plead the blood of Jesus. I just kept repeating it over and over. Little by little, the thing faded away. It went into nothing. It was gone, and all of its wickedness went with it. And this, of course, jibes with everybody who saw it. Like when you think of Linda Scarberry's interviews that she's done over the years.
Yeah.
And other people, they're just terrified. The nurses that treated Scarberry said the same thing, that these people had seen something. They weren't putting this thing on. It was real. So it jibes in what they saw. And it also jibes biblically. When people have encounters with angels, I mean, the good guys, they fall on their face as if dead. And so, I mean, this thing, when he uses the word, you know, wicked, it's just bizarre. I also asked him, listen to this. I said, okay, tell me what you saw. And you know, this is like maybe halfway through the interview. And he goes, I came out of a church of Jefferson Avenue. We lived in a house right across from a church. I walked up to the door and had a sense that somebody was in the house. I didn't say anything to my wife, but I felt that there was somebody in the house. I opened the door and went into the living room and walked around in the bedroom and bath and other bedrooms and looked around and didn't see anything. I turned around and went into the kitchen. We had a basement door and a hooked wire hooked that locked it. That night, the hook was not hooked. Like I said earlier, I thought that whoever was in the house was in the basement. I opened the door and went down in the basement, looked all around, still didn't see anything. I was wondering and thinking and went to bed that night. At about 3 in the morning, I awakened from sleep. I woke up wide awake. I looked out the window and saw a car come up the intersection. This is the part where it gets really bizarre. I turned my head to the right, and then I saw it. It was about 6 feet tall, but I was lying in the bed. I was looking down diagonally towards my wife's side of the bed. He had wings. Everything was bending together. There were something like feathers, two wings that came out to points like a wing. His eyes were sunk into his head. He had a head, form, shoulders, and wings down both sides, down from its hips. It was a kind of a robe-like thing. From his hips down, it was different. No seams, no trousers, more like a robe.